So this morning we're continuing in our series on the book of Acts. If you have not received one of these bookmarks, we do have more of these at the Connect Center as well as just outside the doors here. Part of our series on the book of Acts, we also have a reading plan that's going along with it. And so there are 28 chapters in the book of Acts. I am not preaching on all 28 chapters. But you can still read through all 28 chapters over our eight-week series. And so you can start it whenever. If you want to start it now, you can still continue and read on through the book of Acts. So we know what's happening with Acts and understand what does it mean for us to be the church. Who is God calling us to be in 2026 as Riverstone Church? And what can we learn from the days of the early church? And so we've been talking through what the early church has gone through. We've already seen that the Holy Spirit came, the promised gift from from Jesus came. And so the comfort of the Holy Spirit came. They're all filled with other tongues, spoke in other tongues. We saw that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship, and to prayer. And we also learned about what it means to be a bold witness of Christ, a bold witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this morning we're going to be in the end of Acts chapter 4. I kind of talked about it a little bit last week, and then into beginning of Acts chapter 5. And what does it mean for us to be a holy church? And so will you join me in a word of prayer this morning? Father God, we are grateful for your word, grateful for the truth of the scriptures. As I share through the word this morning, we ask that you move in our lives, that our hearts and our ears be open to receive from you, that the words I say be words that come from you and not from me, and that our lives will be changed and transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the truth of the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. So I talked about a little bit about the passage I was read earlier at Acts chapter 4, verse 32 last week. And after service, someone came up to me and said, I'm not okay with the selling all my stuff things and giving it away. How am I supposed to take care of myself? And I said, no, that's true. Like, I don't think that's what this scripture is telling you, is go sell all your things and just give it all away. But I think we have to look at a couple different things that are very important. One, the economy that was going on in the early church is very different than the economy today. And so understanding that we're talking about a different time and different economy, different needs, different things that were going on, different family structures, makes a difference. I'm from Virginia, been in Texas the last 14 years, and now live in Farmington, New Mexico. In the early days of the church, that would have been unheard of for someone to have traveled that much and that far. And so we have to realize that there are certain things that we've got to look at and understand what is God saying to us today. I do believe that God's word never changes. I believe our understanding of God's word can change. And so that's very different. Our understanding of God's word and through life experience, through things we've gone on, through growing in wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God and of the Holy Spirit, understanding of it can change. So let's look back at Mark chapter 10. I know we're studying the book of Acts. You're like, why are we going in Mark? Just follow with me for a little bit. Go back to Mark chapter 10, verse 17, and look at what did Jesus tell the rich man when he asked to follow Jesus. As he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to him, Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, Then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. So I don't know if you've heard someone preach on this passage before, but a lot of times they stop at a rich man can't get into heaven, that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into heaven. And they stop there. But we got to keep reading at what did Jesus say? Because the question was asked, who can be saved? And Jesus didn't say that the rich can't get into heaven. Jesus just said that all things are possible with Jesus. None of us can get into heaven if it were not for Jesus. And so riches and money and wealth are just tools. And it doesn't make the rich man a bad person. It doesn't make him unworthy of heaven. It doesn't make him somehow worse off than someone that's poor. But see, the apostles were very confused, like a lot of us are. When we hear that passage, we get confused and start thinking, man, you know, if you've got money, you're like, well, I guess I'm in trouble. If you don't have money, you're like, whew, dodge a bullet on that one. If you got money some days, and you're kind of like, I might be okay. I'm not sure where I fall in this. But it's not what that passage was talking about. And so we've got to understand the importance of what Jesus said. With man, it is impossible. But not with God, for all things are possible with God. So understanding that context of what it looks like, let's now go back to Acts chapter 4. Let's look back at Acts chapter 4 and look at that in the full context of what Jesus had taught the apostles to understand what's going on and what's happening in this passage of Scripture. So verse 32 of Acts chapter 4 said that now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. So I got a question for you, and this may be a hard one. What does it mean for us as a church to be of one heart and soul? Yeah, that's kind of the same reaction I had when I thought about it. What does it mean? Because you can go through a campaign and say, you know, we're one church and we're all doing this, going the same direction together, and we're doing this mission statement together, and we're all ready to go, and we get hyped up, and like our feelings are great, and we're like, this is awesome, this is wonderful, and then we leave, and then we're like, what just happened? And so being of one heart and soul has nothing to do with our feelings. It shouldn't have anything to do with our feelings. If you've been around at all, except for probably our infant who doesn't know yet, your feelings can betray you. You can feel this one thing one day and feel a whole nother way a little bit later. And so your feelings can betray you. Your feelings can actually cause issues with being united. But here's the amazing thing we learn about the early church. It says they were of one heart and soul, but it wasn't based on their feelings, but it was only the power of the Holy Spirit that allowed them to be united together in one heart and soul. Can I say the same is true for us as Riverstone Church? We can only be united as one heart and soul together on mission to, for everyone in our neighborhood, in our community, in our city, to hear the message of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way that we can be together. That is the only way that we can walk together in the same direction, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We continue reading on through the rest of verse 32. It says, "And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." So we learn about the apostles giving their testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now let's think about this for a little bit. So the Old Testament foretells of a Messiah coming who will come and set the world right, who will reconcile the world back to God. The evil and the sin that was committed in Genesis chapter 1 by Adam and Eve, that will be no more, and that a Savior will come to bring relationship back between God and man that's been separated. So Jesus shows up on the scene. Some people thought he was the Messiah, and others were like, no, he's not, because the Messiah is supposed to have a sword, and he's supposed to kill everybody. He's supposed to conquer. And Jesus came as a baby. Jesus came being raised by a carpenter. See, he wasn't what they thought he was going to be. And so Jesus, fully human and fully divine, gave his life on a cross, died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, in a new tomb. And they thought it was over. They thought that was the end of the story, but 3 days later, Jesus rose up from the grave. And the Bible says that for 40 days, he traveled around, and there were many witnesses that saw the risen Jesus Christ. So it was important that the apostles told their testimony of the risen Jesus Christ. Because if it were not for that testimony of the risen Jesus Christ, we could say, well, he was a nice man. He did some nice things. He was kind, but he wasn't really God. If it were not for Jesus rising from the dead, we wouldn't be here this morning. If it were not for the truth of Jesus rising from the dead, freely giving his life for all of us, none of us would be here this morning. But see, the apostles told the testimony, and there were witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it is so easy for someone to tell a story. To say, hey, I saw this thing, you should believe me. But when you've got hundreds and thousands of people that witnessed it, it no longer becomes some story that somebody made up. We get to hear that it's truth. We get to understand that there's truth behind what's going on. Verse 34, "There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. See, the early church understood the importance of taking care of each other, understood the importance of caring for one another. See, the early church did not come on the scenes and everything was perfect and beautiful for them. They were being persecuted. There were leaders in the temple that persecuted the early church and weren't okay with this sect that they called the Way. These people that claimed Jesus Christ was not just a prophet, but was the Son of God. They weren't okay with the message of the gospel. They weren't okay with the message of the cross. They weren't okay with the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ alone. They weren't okay to hear that message. And so the church understood that they had to bind together. They had to care for each other. They had to be united together in community as they loved one another. And they noticed I said love one another, not necessarily like one another. It's different. I tell my children this all the time, and my wife and I will say this. We love our children always. We don't always like them. We don't always like the things that they do. We don't always like the choices they make. They're smiling over here because they've heard it before. But the same is true with us as brothers and sisters in Christ. We can love one another. We don't always have to like each other. Uh-oh, I hit somebody. I may have stepped on toes on that one. Can we be honest for a second? Families have disagreements. I know, it's surprising. Chris, I just learned this. I heard families are perfect somewhere, but I haven't found one yet. But the same is true for us. We're a family. There's going to be times that we disagree with each other, times that we may not get along always, but in the times that we need each other most is when it matters. In the times when members of our body lose a loved one and we surround them with love and care and hold them up. All those other things should fall away because we know that we still are called to care for one another. So the early church understood the importance of caring for one another. And we read about those that had land selling and giving what they had to the apostles. And then we go to Acts chapter 5. And we read a story about a husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira. Now, they were part of the early church. They were members of the early church and part of the early church. And they saw that Joseph had sold his land, had brought it to the apostles, and they saw the accolades that he got. They saw the praise that he got from the community because he freely gave all that he had to the apostles. And so they were human and said, I want that. I want to do a big gesture in front of everybody so that I am publicly praised and everyone's like, look how good I am. And so we read in Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 1. As soon as I get water. It says, but a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." But Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Let us pray. I'm kidding. That's a terrible way to end a message. That's a terrible way. Or maybe I should have said, "Let's take an offering." That probably would have been better. So I've got to be honest. The first time I heard that passage of scripture, I was kind of like those in the early church. It kind of brought me some fear. And I was like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, I don't understand, because at first I'm like, I mean, they did a good thing. They sold their land. They gave the money to the apostles. Like, this is good, right? And then I had to go back and look at the verses before and look back at what the actual problem was. Because, see, we look at verses 3 and 4 to understand what is going on and what the problem was, on why they died. It says, "But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal?'" So they didn't die because they sold land and gave it to the church. They died because they chose to lie about it. God had told them, "Whatever you want to give, you can freely give." There was no number set. There was no amount that was set. They freely gave whatever they wanted and said, "Hey, this is what we want to give. If you want to hold part of it back for yourself, hold part of it back." The apostles didn't say you had to give everything and live destitute. That's not what they said. But they wanted the accolades. They wanted people to look at them and say, "Oh, look how holy they are. Oh, look how pretty they are. Oh, look how much they give. Look at all the wonderful things that they do." They wanted the praise of man instead of the praise of God. So we see in Matthew chapter 6, it encourages us to give to the needy in secret, and not to make a spectacle of giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says that God loves a cheerful giver. So I'd say the question this morning is not, will we sell all of our possessions and give them away? The question is, will we be honest with God in what we choose to give? That's a question that you have to ask of God, and a question that you have to have with God yourself. Will you join me in prayer for real this time? Father God, we are grateful for you. Grateful for your presence, grateful for your Spirit that moves in our lives. Father God, help us as we examine ourselves, examine our hearts for what you call us to give, how you call us to serve. Let us do it with honesty. Not out of compulsion, not feeling guilty, but understanding that what we have decided with you is what we will do. And Father, as we give what you call us to give, let us also do it in a sense that we're not trying to gain praise from the world, but are willing to give in secret, willing to give in such a way that we know that you are honored and glorified. And we're not worried about our neighbor, we're not worried about the person next to us, the people around us, giving us praise. But we know that our hearts are pure, that our hearts are right before you. So, Father God, we are grateful this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.